Welcome to Booktop You're On. My name is Bronwyn.
I'm Tanea.
I'm Joe.
I'm Sarah.
And today we're talking about all things romance since it is Valentine's Day.
Yay.
Okay, well, we love books here.
Do we? I thought you were about to say we love Valentine's Day.
No, we love books. So let's just talk about, you know, romance stories that we love, romance books we love, tropes that we love, we hate, we'd like to see more of.
Like, are we going to come up with the ultimate list of best romantic books ever?
I mean, you can give it a go.
I feel like John won't agree with any of the ones I say.
But good luck with that. That's one of, like...
That's hard.
No, but it's also jumping into an area where there's a lot of opinion. Like, boom!
True, because everybody's...
So we preface
romance
it
is so different.
And say, okay, not the ultimate ever, but...
Can we say romantic? Because, you know, there's romance... novels.
True. Oh, just, yeah, elements of romance.
And
so,
then there's the, you know, Australian Romance Readers Association.
You know,
they have very firm views on what it fits into that genre. Then there's the books with romantic elements.
Well, that's feel free to bring up a horror book, John, that you love that has a very twisted romantic part to it.
Frankenstein for his monster.
Yeah, exactly. What do we call that romance? I don't know. Romance me. Okay, well, Tanea, why don't you start?
So my favourite romantic elements books, even though I'm pretty sure they'd be romance, is anything by Colleen Hoover, specifically Ugly Love and November 9, if I had to pick two favourites, but she's the kind of author that, like, I can just start one of her books and then I ultimately want to go and read, like, all of her books.
I've never read her, but hearing you rant about her today sort of convinced me.
Yeah,
I never have either, but I've kind of hovered around the books and read the blurbs and thought it might be fun and haven't gone there yet.
So, like, it's like the kind of romance that's like got the really emotional backstories and gives you all the feels and they're
all
pretty
the
intense.
John,
no, like, they're
that's
all
really
intense.
Unwell. John, are you okay?
All the feels.
They give you all the feels. I know. Shocking, right? And yeah, they're just really, really intense and like make you feel all the emotions. They give you all the feels, okay, John?
Yeah,
is that okay?
Feels, yeah.
Not some of them.
Yeah.
Every one.
Every single feel ever invented.
All the feels. Like, you feel their heartbreak. You feel, like, the... just, that's
I
how
have
I feel.
I do love, as a title, Ugly Love.
It's, that's a good like, title. It's really good. That's my favorite. If I had to pick an absolute favorite, it would be Ugly Love. Mm-hmm. And I've reread that book, like, 10 times.
Can you give it, like, a tiny, tiny synopsis?
Yeah.
Elevated pitch.
Okay.
Tell me what it's about.
I'm really bad at describing books. But basically, it follows... Tate, who I think she's in her like 20s, she's a nurse. She's just moving into the building that her brother, who's a pilot, lives in, and she meets Miles, who is also a pilot and best friends with her brother. And she is really attracted to him. He's attractive to her, but she wants a romance. He just wants a fling. And so it's kind of like she goes along with it, and then it's really intense, and you find out like why he's really like tortured backstory.
Oh,
and it's actually really sad.
I really thought you were going to do a play on the Mile High Club when you said his name was Miles.
I mean, no.
Sarah,
she's an author who, just because of how popular her books are, I've always expected a movie to be made out of one of her books. But
Ugly Love
yet.
Was supposed to. It like they cast Miles, and I only looked this up like 2 days ago. The rights have reverted back to Colleen Hoover, and I'm actually really sad about it. And they did like a Kickstarter campaign or something similar for the movie, and now it's kind of like what's going to happen to all the people who donated money and who were promised things.
Just start off as someone saying, I bet you couldn't write a romance novel or a romantic elements novel with a lead character called Miles. Is that like a dare for someone? Miles does not seem like a Heathcliff.
So all her names have like a quite different, like, and she gets her names from like people she's met.
Like the sexiest Gerald I know. Like, I don't know. I just don't
know.
Miles,
Gerald, you could work
Gerald.
I don't think
he has
Miles
to be older and sophisticated.
Really?
I don't think
of
Miles from Kramer and from what's the
Seinfeld.
Word? No,
Kramer versus
no
Kramer.
Idea.
No, Kramer. Oh goodness, my brain's dead. I'm gonna back out. It was a spin-off from Cheers. I'm going. Bye bye.
Frasier.
Oh, okay, fine. Of course, his brother.
Yeah,
he's
brother.
The best character ever.
No, that's Niall.
Niall.
Oh, I just... We all fail. You know what? Let's just agree that...
You know what?
Miles
I never picked
John's
up on the weirdness
name.
Of his name, and if you've ruined that book for me because of this conversation...
It's a perfectly fine name, if you ask me.
I didn't...
I know too many Mileses, so it's kind of all I can picture of these people that I know, and that I think would.
So that's Ugly Love by Colleen Hoover.
Yeah, well, that's just one. We just fill up the half of the podcast.
Well, John, you go next. You tell us one love story, or romantic element story that you love.
Well, I think I have to go back to the first one I read, mm-hmm. which just, I was stunned by, and stunned by my reaction, then mortified by my reaction, then I was staying in London, and a friend had this flat, and he had all these old books in it. And,
I remember the story.
And he gave me, yeah. Jane Austen, and I'd just come out of school, and all the kids that had done Jane Austen hated Jane Austen. I didn't want to read Jane Austen. He gave me Persuasion, and he got back from work 9 hours later, then I'm sitting on my knees, a cup of tea in one hand, and I don't know why I'm on my knees, but I was caught between my movements and stuck with the...
You're too tense to sit down.
Yeah, too tense to sit.
You're on your way to do something and just had to stop.
Yeah, and there I am, and he comes open the door, and I turn to him, look up to him with doe eyes and go, does she get him?
which one was this?
Persuasion, Jane Austen Persuasion. It's just so... Brilliant. So it's so brilliant on so many different levels. But that romance in it is. I've read lots of. When you read 19th century novels, romance is right through it. Pretty much, you can't have a book without some sort of romantic theme. But that one between those two.
I have to agree. There are a few books that I go back to when I want something romantic, and that's definitely one of them. And it is when you talk about. Tropes in romance that you like.
Yeah,
I do like the Second Chance one.
Mm.
Yes, like, that's true.
I think it just gives you rich storytelling ground because the characters already have a backstory, and you get to unfurl that at the same time as your
the new story.
Yeah, yeah, I like it.
And then you got a level of maturity as well. So you often it happens they miss out in early life, and then later on they come
like
together.
The Notebook.
Yeah, and also there's no risk of insta love because they already know each other.
I haven't read Persuasion, but like on our many conversations about Persuasion in the office, like Sarah and John have convinced me like that it will be the next Austen I read.
Yeah, me too.
It is. I mean, it wasn't the first one I read, and I remember starting it a few times and being not instantly enamored and going and reading others. But when I did sit down with it and read it properly, it blew me away. And like, there's the ending with the letter. Oh. Like that letter, I still get chills.
John's had a moment.
Get chills with that letter. It is one of the most romantic novels ever. Another one that I revisit constantly when I'm in that mood. And I think the temptation when you're talking about romantic books is to talk about classics because they are so romantic. I have ones that aren't classics. We can get to those. But Jane Eyre, I read that when I was very young, and so I always have, whenever I reread it, I go straight back to my like teenage self just being blown away by how the melodrama, like some of the speeches that that Rochester makes about, I can't even quote them, and when I do they sound horrendous because they're quite like visceral, graphic, like what's the word I'm looking for? It's a word to describe when you talk about something. I want to say simile, but I feel like it's not. Metaphor. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah, for Sarah.
He uses some quite graphic metaphors about his heart. But, you know, I love it, and I'll always love it. And I know it so well that I just reread sections of it just purely for the romance.
Well, Jane Eyre was my favourite book for a while there. I just could. I even took the place of Persuasion and all the others. Because it's such.
There's so much in it.
It's such a wonderful book, and when I am able to pass it on, someone else reads it and they fall in love with the book. It's just one of the great joys of having someone fall for Jane Eyre.
Sometimes I pick it up and just read the ending, like because the ending's quite drawn out. It's got a very long ending, the final scene of the movie, and then there's a little prologue right at the end. Like, so the last scene between them goes for, I think it's a full chapter of reuniting stuff. Love it. Read it so often.
So Persuasion and then Jane Eyre for me in terms of reading classics.
Yeah, me too, I think.
Yeah, well, Persuasion, if you're not completely blown over by Persuasion, then...
Something wrong with you.
Yeah, well, no, then maybe the classics aren't for you.
That's you're fired. Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of people who would say it's not the most romantic one, and that.
But it's
Pride and Prejudice is known for being the most romantic.
I do love Pride and Prejudice.
When he comes in and with the letter that he writes, you know.
She's really great at letters, isn't she? Yeah.
That's
always
has
the love letter. There's another trope we clearly like.
Mm. Yeah.
Although his is more of an explanation.
Yeah.
But it's really a love letter. In disguise as a goodbye forever letter.
It is Valentine's Day, and we are talking. People often give, you know, notes and cards and the like. So a letter.
Do they? I've not experienced
it. Dangerous liaisons. Dangerous liaisons is all letters. And it's all. It's one of the most challenging romantic books you're ever going to read.
I've never read it.
Oh, it is amazing. Like, and it is shocking.
I have seen Cruel Intentions.
Yeah.
Well, is that what it's based on?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because that movie is messed up.
Well, this book is messed up.
Oh, this
takes, like, and you're reading it and going, how could this be published even then? And even now you're going,
it was very big. It was a 90s movie, wasn't it? That was a big
Cruel Intentions.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
Yeah, but if you look at
if you ever thought they were behaving strangely for people of that time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But in the heart of that is this love story with lots of remorse and the greatest feels, was it?
All the feels, John.
It's all right, the cool young hip people know what I'm talking about.
We nearly heard John say all the feels.
Later, he's going to chime in later with it. I mean, look, there's a lot that I've read recently that I love, but I'm going to go back to the thing that I always mention, was Peter Pan, because as a child, and it's interesting, I know people are probably sitting there going, really? They're like 12.
Yeah, I didn't see much of the romance.
I think what happened was, I obviously had seen the cartoon growing up, and then this is all before I read the book. And thank God I didn't read the book when I was a kid, because it's a bit weird, but good weird. But then that movie came out, you know, the actual people, not the cartoon.
There's been many.
Well, there's the one in
the one that was called Pan?
No, it was called Peter Pan with Jeremy Sumpter. Anyway.
Probably like 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. I was about...
Because then I was also a hook.
No, not that one.
Going too far. 2000s.
Yeah, but I was about the same age as, you know, Peter and Wendy and stuff. And that movie is, if you haven't seen it, it's quite strange. They're 12 years old or whatever. And I'd never experienced such romantic or sexual tension.
Is that
before.
In the book?
It is, but I think it was something about it. It was something about this movie. The version was so, it was almost like an awakening in a way for me. It was my first insight into like real love.
Wow, Bron.
And cute. Revealing all the
awakening
things on the podcast.
In Peter Pan.
Honesty. This is a safe place. What happens on the podcast goes out to thousands of people.
Safe, very not private
he
place.
He grew up hot as well, the actor. He grew up hot.
He was beautiful. Anyway,
yeah. But he's 12 at the time.
He's not 12 now.
I was also 12, okay. So it was different. But then reading the book, and I what I love about... Stop laughing at me, you two.
I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing at everything.
She's laughing at me. It's okay, because I'm not embarrassed. Because what I loved about them was it wasn't, you know, a proper romance. They don't end up together because obviously they're still children, but it's them play-acting husband and wife and Peter really, being really dependent on her... so it's really, it's very lots of layers in there and stuff, but I love that she, spoiler alert, she doesn't choose to stay with him in the end, but they still love each other and they care about each other. And that was something for me that as a child was really like, oh wow.
And it's a bit of I have not read Peter Pan, but my understanding of Peter Pan and the point of it is it's a bit of a love letter to childhood, but also to growing up.
Yeah. And so he's the one that chooses to stay a child. She's the one that, you know.
They're forever parted.
Yeah.
Until Peter Pan grows up and becomes Robin Williams. And
doesn't Tinkerbell become a woman or something at some point?
But isn't that perfect for women in their 20s anyway? Because they choose to grow up and the men they're with remain children. mid-30s, late 40s.
It's so true. Yeah. Because Wendy's very mature the whole time and Peter's a complete idiot.
Yeah.
Peter, shush.
It's a lesson. It's a learning. This is what's going to happen to you for pretty much the first 20 years of any relationship.
Yeah, that's it. Well, why don't we now talk about some tropes? Because we've been talking for a long time already, just about four books, pretty much, five books. So let's talk about your favourite tropes now.
Okay, so like Ron and I were prepping for this before,
were going crazy.
And like we were going through a list of romantic tropes, and some of them were very out there. And I came to realise that I really like betrayal and enemies to lovers.
I love enemies.
And I like them tied together. Like, I don't know why, but...
So you want them to become... enemies through betrayal.
No, so like they start out as enemies, like they hate each other, hate to love, enemies to love. Then like, you know, the slow romancy thing kind of starts to happen and like
then
they just get together and then bam, betrayal.
What's a book that uses this
trope? Red Queen does it. I I don't know if it's the first one or the second one, but like Maven was like my favorite in this. There's a love triangle in Red Queen. Yeah. Maven was my absolute favorite, and then Maven goes a little crazy. Let's just sum it up like that. And it's continued in the second one. And I just was like, it just made me love it even more. I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Pride and Prejudice.
It is Pride and Prejudice. Yeah,
and that was going to be my example. I love that. I love to hate. Hate to love.
But that's the trope.
There was betrayal in there as well. Yeah.
There was with
because he drove off.
And, he did. Mm-hmm. It was all his fault.
They meet each other. They hate each other. Mm. Then there's betrayal.
And then they hate each other more.
And then, sometimes they get then the betrayal goes away. Like, I don't care what happens after that. I just really like those two elements together. Weirdly.
Yeah, which is it's like a roadmap of Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, it really is.
My one would be unrequited love.
Oh,
that remains unrequited forever.
Yeah, does it remain unrequited?
Some of them do, some of them do, some of them don't. There's Morris Guest, which Henry Hannah Richardson wrote and set in a music school in Leipzig. So there's all these young, genius musicians, piano players, conductors, the rest of it, and all very, very passionate about everything. But in the three main characters, it all seem to fall in love with the wrong person. And so it's like a line of people facing the wrong way. And, if I love Sarah, Sarah was loving Bron, Bron was loving Taneo. It was all wrong.
I do love you, Bron. I can't
say that. I just know it.
So it no one is happy. It's fantastic. And then there's Love in a Time of Cholera, which is the great unrequited love story. I think there's a tiny bit of requiting.
I'm a bit of weakness.
And Straight as the Gate, Andre Gide, I think, or Gide. That is like the word straight is in there, and it's tense. The whole thing, he just cannot get his love. And Gertrude by Hermann Hesse, which is probably one of my most read books. It's tiny, it's unrequited love, it is devastating. It's brilliant.
John loves heartbreak, everyone.
Convinces me I need to. The other week we did a podcast about books we can't believe we haven't read, and I, as I want to do, took the brief and twisted it into books I have read, which I didn't like, which I know I should reread, which was Love in the Time of Cholera, which I don't know why I couldn't.
I haven't read it.
I need to reread that one.
Well, if you want to make it easier on yourself, try and read 100 Years of Solitude with everyone called the same name. It's over 100 years. And
I liked 100 Years of Solitude.
But they give the son the same name as the grandson, the great-grand... Come on, stop calling him Alonso.
I also have a son called Alonso,
It just drives me nuts.
I like retellings. I find often the ones that get retold a lot are the fairy tales and the great love stories. And
love the Beauty and the Beast trope.
Yeah, I do. Which is really good because
I'm going to a romance website. It's a
thing. Yeah. I'm into it, but I'm very specific about it, right? I can't have. There can be no element of kidnapping.
That's true.
I don't like that. There can be no. Basically, what I like about that trope, because I tried to unpack it. Do you remember the podcast where I tried to figure out why I like it? Because. Yeah. Part of me is why, Sarah, why? I think I like it because essentially it's a romance that comes from two people who, through, for whatever reason, are really different and don't understand each other. So,
is that Heathcliff? Is that where that work for Wuthering?
I mean, Heathcliff's a beast. But
Heathcliff.
But Kathy's also a beast.
Beast and the Beast.
The Beast and the Beast.
I think, I don't know, there's sort of an element of the brat and the beast in the next generation right at the end. Wow. But I don't know why I like it, I just do. I think it's, if you throw two people in a situation where that have no reason to actually like each other, who have nothing in common, but there's something hanging over them that's it would be great if you guys got together, like a curse. I'm into that.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just like it. I like it when love is unlikely.
Yeah, I can't actually think of any examples off the top of my head, but one of my favourite tropes is the forbidden
love.
Especially if they've acknowledged...
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
No, but they do get together, do you know what I mean?
But it's very forbidden.
It is very forbidden.
Doesn't end well.
Mine's more... I love that ending. Best kind of ending, death.
They're together.
No mortgage.
They did it right.
No kids.
Experience the best life has to offer and then check out.
Yeah, check out.
Well, I don't know. I like like it when they acknowledge that they love each other or they have feelings, but for some reason they never do something.
They can never ever be together.
Like never be together. Yeah. I don't know why. It's just
like
so
a remains of the day type thing. Like, unspoken. Love unspoken.
That killed me.
Everyone
has to read Remains of the Day.
Actually, Love Unspoken's pretty great.
Yeah, Love Unspoken.
And just the longing looks.
Oh man, we just had
a moment and flew away somewhere.
What about the dreaded? I hate this song. Can we talk about ones we hate?
Yeah, go for it.
I despise love triangles. I can't.
If they're done well, if they're done well, yes. But like, if they're not done well, no.
Yeah, I think they're rarely done well.
But I like what you know, John's version of you know, he loves you, you love me, I love Tanae. That kind of
failure. Everyone's
yeah, that's more of a love quadrangle.
But yeah, as long as it's not two guys fighting over the one girl or whatever or. Which can,
I just think the inherent flaw in the love triangle that happens again and again. I'm trying to think of an example when it was done well because I believe if we find that example, it won't have done this thing. Which is that every single love triangle I read, the reason I came to hate them is because the pinnacle of the triangle is always unbearable. It's like make a decision. Just make a decision. Yeah. I don't have any sympathy for it. I'm like maybe that's the single woman in me, but I'm just like you've got two choices.
Make a choice. Decision.
I'm not here for this.
But if they're like within nature, they're the birds that are really good nest makers, right? And they're really particular about their nest, and they're really tidy, and they attract exactly the kind of woman who wants a perfect nest. But he's not really sexy, the nest guy. Right?
Yeah.
And so there's a guy in the woods just a bit further over who is he's a bit of a Don Juan, and he's got it all going on. He hasn't got a nest. But he's got it going on.
So that love triangle has a clear winner, right?
No, because you don't have a nest if you go with that guy.
No, I'm saying the clear winner is the nest guy.
Nest guy's clear winner.
Yeah, so that's the clear winner. I don't want to read a whole book to get to a foregone conclusion.
Why is nest guy a clear winner?
Oh, because everyone knows
it's so
worker
true.
In the woods guy goes nowhere good. He's a Wickham.
He's a Wickham, did you say?
A Wickham. We always come back to Pride and Prejudice.
He's a Wickham. I was like, what? He's a witch. You're right.
He's a George Wickham, and no good ever comes of it. And if you're reading a book and you're for that guy, you're in for disappointment. And then maybe it's an interesting book. But if you're reading it and you know that the best choice is Nest Guy, and you're like, I don't want to read an entire book so that the dim-witted heroine can figure that out.
Why can't the heroine win and get what she wants in both things?
So, they do. I mean, Bridget Jones' Diary, she has a fling. With
no, I mean, at the end.
No, I really like
it's the final choice, and she goes, actually, look, I'm the one you both like. It's I'm the one in control here.
I want you both.
And I want you both. You can live in the basement. You can have the rest of the house.
See, that would be great. Yeah. That would be great. I would be inside. I also kind of like it when a love triangle pans out in an unexpected way.
Such as she ditches them both?
Such as you're reading it and one seems like a really... That would be great.
I like that.
That would be unexpected.
It's your thinking.
Career is one of my favourite.
Where she just like...
She just goes, I'm done. Yeah. Oh, thanks for revealing your hand. You love me. Ha! I'm out.
Which was this, sorry?
My brilliant career.
Miles Franklin. I love that. I mean,
we should see that.
That's
more
very
often.
Empowering.
Yeah, it's like it's Jane Eyre, but just right at the end, Jane Eyre goes, "Get stuffed," and walks out.
Which would deprive me of my beautiful last chapter that I've read a million times. So that would be upsetting.
Yeah, one day you'll open that book again and instead that last chapter.
And instead, John's like, "She chose no one." The end. Dear reader, I walked away and I didn't marry either of them.
Okay, so that's the one you hate. What do you hate today?
I think I hate the insta-love thing because it's been done so well. Like, I don't mind the idea that you're attracted to someone so much and that instant connection. That's fine.
Yeah.
That is fine. But then develop a relationship. I don't like it when that happens and then within two pages it's I love you, I've always loved
and
you.
We were
and
married.
Like, you've known them for two pages. Like, slow down. Calm down.
Or write me a book that has insta-love in it and then it just falls apart and then you realise how terrible it is. Which, again, is kind of Romeo and Juliet.
And it just doesn't feel realistic. Like, it doesn't feel realistic. It doesn't make me feel all the feels.
Well, I don't... I believe in, lust at first sight. But I don't actually believe in love at first sight. I don't. So I don't... When I watch a movie or I read a book like that, I'm like, no. Just don't. No.
Yeah, but I mean, when we're talking... I don't know if this is cynical, but when we're reading romance and talking about romantic books, can't get the words out. I don't believe in any of it. So it's all a fairy tale. It's all a fairy tale, but it's a pleasant fairy tale. And it's nice to read about.
Sarah.
My pet hate is the weak woman. I don't like Anastasia from Fifty Shades. That kind of.
Who's basically just Bella Swan. Who's
like a cardboard cutout woman. Yeah, you're like, why do you like her? She has no personality.
Yeah, and then generally they have a kind of a toxic relationship with a horrible beast.
Which is held up to be a beautiful, amazing relationship.
Yeah, I don't,
but it's only accepted because he's attractive and rich. If he was ugly and
I would love to read.
Class, you know.
I wouldn't love to read it. What am I saying? I wish in the world existed for other people to read and for me to never read a version of 50 Shades where he's just unemployed. Like,
well, that's it. But it wouldn't have caught up because people, they forgive the dark parts of him because they're like, ooh, glamorous life and he's beautiful.
He's paying for everything that she's adored. She's getting nice clothes. She's getting
I think she's obsessed with the Audi.
I keep finding out.
Is he obsessed with the Audi? Because I know that's a Twilight thing. Did that go straight into it? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I keep finding out the most amazing thing. I heard the other day, because I got addicted to reading reviews of the 50 Shades Freed movie. I don't know why, because they were so funny. And apparently this paragon of awesomeness is jealous of his own unborn child.
What? Look, I haven't seen it on the weekend with my friends because it's this thing that we like to do just as a group. I will let you know what I think on.
Yeah, tell me if that really happens, because in those reviews it sometimes becomes difficult to separate the angry ranting from what actually happened in the film.
This is true. And it all depends. Everyone's, different opinion and all that kind of stuff.
And so what do you think of the Valentine thing itself? Like Valentine's. The anonymous person giving you notes. In this online world and in the stalker world and
it seems creepy.
Man up and just tell them to their face.
But Valentine's isn't really that anymore, right? You don't get many anonymous Valentine's these days. It's Valentine's is when
I saw that gif earlier, I was like, aww.
That ended well.
Poor Ralph. Watch when his heart breaks.
I'm shattered onto the floor.
Oh, tragedy.
You were saying something and I interrupted you with my choo-choo
shoes. I mean, it can't have been good because it's gone right out of my head.
Well, you were saying we don't really do that anymore, the actual sort of...
Oh, yeah, because these days Valentine's is like just when
you
pony up. You have a loved one, it's time to spend money. That's what Valentine's Day is, right?
Yeah.
And the other ones just drink.
Yeah, well, see, I've never celebrated Valentine's Day, so I don't know. I don't really have an opinion. I just sort of ignore it every year.
Well, what about Galentine's Day?
What
do the men do for Galentine's Day? Shouldn't there be a bromance?
I saw on Twitter Palentine's Day, as in pal.
That's cute. Oh, for those of you who don't know, Galentine's Day is you celebrate.
Hang on. No, John can explain he had a lesson on this today.
Yes, I was told that someone on TV made it up.
Just
a small show
called Parks and Rec. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that show.
It's now a national holiday.
Amy Poehler.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, she plays Leslie Knope.
There you go. She made up.
And she gifted the world with this great thing called Galentine's Day. And now we've got Palentine's Day.
Ovaries before braveries, everyone. Hang out with your girlfriends or your guy friends.
Ovaries before braveries.
I've had a Galentine's Day dinner, actually. Now that we didn't have that term back then, back in the day. But my friend and I were both in London. We were both alone, so we went, let's have dinner on Valentine's Day. That was great with Chinese.
Well, what are we...
Thanks for the detail.
Anytime.
We've learned so much about you, Ron. So much about young Ron.
She's Chinese on Valentine's Day. She loves pink hair. A little too much, maybe. Yeah.
So if we were all going to go and read a really romantic book today...
Mm-hmm.
That we haven't read before.
We haven't read before, Jesus.
Persuasion.
Oh yeah, you guys. Okay, that's fine.
We had that easy.
Can one of you read Jane Eyre and one of you?
I bags Persuasion.
I'll read Jane Eyre.
There okay. We go. That's fine. Should I read Ugly Love?
Yes, do it.
John has read Jane Eyre.
No, wait.
The romance time. That's illegal.
No, John can read Ugly Love. You can read Peter Pan because I think John would hate it.
So your reasoning was John will hate it a lot,
yes.
Therefore he must do it.
Because it would be funny. But it will teach him how to be hip and cool.
Yeah. Oh, Miles. Yeah.
Oh, Miles.
I've ruined it for you, haven't I?
Yes. just to finish off.
This has been a great time.
Just to finish off, let's tell everybody what we're currently reading today. What are you reading?
Sorry, I forgot because I finished a book this morning.
Shall I go first?
Well, I just finished Children of Blood and Bone by Tommy Adeyemi. I don't know how you say it.
I'm gonna go with.
Which was really, really good. And I think my next read is going to be Lifelike by J. Kristoff.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
I just finished Boy Swallows Universe, which is awesome. But I'm also listening to, for the millionth time, Howard's End on the way to work. And nice. It is perfect.
Well, I just finished The Ruin by Devlin McTiernan. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
You did that so well.
Phew, it was great. And I'm also nearly finished The Wife Between Us.
Yeah.
And I'm about to start one called, I think it's called The Perfect Girlfriend. So all crime
all
on
crime,
Valentine's Day. All murdery crime on Valentine's Day.
The Perfect Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Enough said, Sarah. Enough said.
I'm reading Children of Blood and Bone as well, and then I'm about to finish on audiobook Harry Potter 2, and I'm just going to transition straight into Harry Potter 3.
That's a great transition.
Just this afternoon in the car, I think we'll be able to transition over.
Exciting. Thank God for traffic. That extra bit of it, of listening pleasure.
I agree. It's the only possible
I could do
topic.
Without it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you listen to the audiobooks in the car or not?
I listen to murder podcasts.
No. You do. You're just murder, isn't it?
Only because I was subscribed to an audiobook service that I then cancelled.
Yeah.
And now I don't have easy access to audiobooks. Except through Booktopia, where I work.
Yay!
Audiobooks are rock. Yeah. Especially the ones in the disc and you have to buy and download.
Yeah.
Right.
And then when you're in traffic, you're like taking out one CD and putting in another.
Yeah, the
that doesn't happen much anymore these days.
Once I told Tim Winton, who owned that the digital download place that people get, he decided to go back to audio CDs, and he says he will leave a note in the car that if he passes while driving, it's my fault because he's leaning over trying to change the
CD. So you killed Tim Winton.
Yeah, in a weird parallel universe, probably every year.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah.
That's not good news on Valentine's
Day. Sorry about that, Tim.
Well, on that cheerful note, I'm going to wrap this up. And thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next Wednesday at 11 a.m.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.